Our Father, we are grateful this morning that we have the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. We pray that thou would open the Word, help us to lay hold of the truth of it, and grant our Father, as we see the evidence of thy writing of the book, that our hearts will be yielded to its obedience. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you have your Bibles with you today, you will want to open them to the book of the Revelation, which portion of the Word of God we are studying together. In our last broadcast, we completed mention of the seven Beatitudes of the book of the Revelation. And we said the number seven intrigued us. Why were there not five? Why were there not six? Why seven? Well, the answer is very important to your study of the book of the Revelation. The number seven is the number of completion, and you're going to find this number used repeatedly in the book. Because the number is significant, I think it would be wise for us to remember that in the first verse of the first chapter, we were told that God was going to signify certain truths to us with signs and with symbols. One of the symbols he uses is the number. And I think it would be wise for us, too, to recognize the significance of numbers as they are revealed in the Bible, particularly in the book of the Revelation. Now, if you have in your possession a Scofield Bible, which is a very fine reference Bible, you will notice that Dr. Scofield, in his notes, lists the various sevens which are found in the book of the Revelation. We're not going to take the time to point them out for you at this particular broadcast, because we would suggest you do this for yourself and make it profitable. A Scofield Bible is available in any bookstore. Now, we've suggested to you, keep in mind, by way of illustration, that there are seven Beatitudes in the book of the Revelation. When you get over to the second chapter, in fact, you find them mentioned in the first chapter. There are going to be seven churches presented to you. When you get farther on, there's going to be a seven-sealed book. A little farther on in our study, you will find seven bowls of judgment. Still farther on, you will find seven trumpets, which sound out the nail of judgment for a world that is condemned of God. You get still farther on in the book, and you will find seven participating characters in the greatest trial that the earth is ever going to see. And when you get over to the end of the book of the Revelation, you are going to find seven new things that are presented to us as we look toward the future. Now, these things that we have mentioned to you, you will find, I emphasize again, in the notes in the Scofield Reference Bible. The number seven, since this is the number that is used so often, is an exceedingly important number. We might ask ourselves, why this seven? Well, let me reemphasize, it is the number of completion, it is the number of finishing, and the book of the Revelation is the completion of God's plan. What you find in the book of the Revelation, you find begun in the book of Genesis. What you find begun in the book of Genesis, you find finished in the book of the Revelation. Now let's keep in mind, it isn't only that the book of the Revelation is the last book of the Bible, but it is the last revelation of God's plan. It is perfection and it is completeness. So we would expect to find the number seven emphasized. As we pursue the numerical significance of numbers, will you recognize with me that another number that you're going to have to become familiar with in the book of the Revelation is the number three. Now, of course, the significance of this number is not hard for us to understand, because we are all familiar with the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the number three, quite naturally, is the number that is related to God. I would like for you to notice how, in the very first chapter of the book, you have your Bibles open there, I trust, the number three is emphasized again and again. Watch for it as you go through the book of the Revelation, and the reading of the book will be the clearer to you. If you will notice down in the fourth verse of chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. Notice carefully now. From him which is, which was, and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Now, I tried to read this passage of Scripture in a way that you might be able to recognize the triplicate of truth which has been presented in these three verses. But let's go back over them and emphasize them so that you will be sure to have them. First of all, there is a reference to the Holy Trinity. The first person of the Trinity is mentioned when we read, from him which is, which was, and which is to come. The second person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is referred to in the statement of the seven spirits of God which are before the throne. And in the last lesson, we recognize the seven spirits before the throne are really seven manifestations of the same Holy Spirit. You remember in Revelation chapter 5, the message is also from Jesus Christ, who is the third person of the Trinity. The message is given to us of God, but it is related in triplicate to the truth of the Trinity. The message of Jesus Christ is likewise. Now, glance back at the fourth verse again, and you will see what he said about God. God is the one who was and the one who is to come, which is simply a statement of the eternal existence of God. The one who was, who is, and who is to come. The one who is in continuous existence. The one who presented himself in the Old Testament by two little words, I am. You remember that Moses was talking to God, and he said, I've got to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And they're going to say, who told you to lead us out? What's his name? And God said, you tell them, I am. That is my name. I am. I am the one that was. I am the one that is. And I am the one that will come. The eternal God. Now, if you will glance down at the fifth verse, you will notice the three things which are said about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the faithful witness. That is a reference to his ministry upon the earth. The Apostle Paul, you will remember, mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who witnessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate. A reference to his earthly ministry as a faithful witness. Then, he is referred to as the first begotten of the dead. This is a reference to his high priestly ministry at the right hand of the throne of God, because he was the first one raised from the dead. Now you may say today, what about Lazarus? What about the widow of Nain's son? What about the daughter of Jairus? All of these people, beloved, were resuscitated. They were not imbued with new life, never to die again, as was the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, he is the first begotten of the dead, and he is carrying on high today his high priestly ministry in the presence of God for us. And that ought to encourage our hearts. Now, the third thing which was said about the Lord Jesus Christ in the paragraph which we read in your hearing is a reference to what he will be when he comes back to this earth. Because there we read, he is the prince of the kings of the earth. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And one day, when he returns to this earth, men will find it necessary to acknowledge him as such, King of kings and Lord of lords. You see what I say to you when I say that three is an important number in the book of the Revelation? Over and over again, you're going to find these truths presented in triplicate as we ourselves are included in this today, because the dedication of the book of the Revelation is found in the last part of the fifth verse, and we are included in it. Notice now, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Did you notice the three things that are said about us? First of all, we are told that he loved us. God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But the thing that is the testimony to the love of Christ for us is that while we were his enemies, he died for us. Unto him that loved us, and not only did he love us, but he washed us from our sins in his own blood. The word that is translated washed here actually comes from a Greek word which means loosed, and it does not necessarily involve the idea of washing. It's all right to say washed from our sins in his own blood, because we have been, but I like the emphasis too upon the fact that we have been loosed from our sins. We are no longer held in bondage for those sins. God has forgiven them and forgotten them, and we are not responsible for them anymore forever. Now glance down at the sixth verse, the third thing that he has done for us. This passage of Scripture says that he has made us kings and priests unto God. Literally, it is, he has made us a kingdom of priests unto God. And here is a reference, if you please, to what is going to be literally true by and by when we stand on this earth during the millennial reign of Christ. Oh yes, in a sense, we are priests now. But we are going to come into our own when the millennial reign of Christ is established. And we will indeed be ruling and reigning with Christ. So we have today the significance not only of the number 7, but the significance of the number 3. We'll be thinking about the significance of other numbers, but this will suffice for today. Do remember to pray for us.